The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, with a headbanging song in his heart, here's Nate.
Welcome, everybody, to the last week of February here on the Nate Darling Show, and, well, pretty much everywhere on Earth, too, if you observe the Gregorian calendar.
Who doesn't, though?
Jerks.
Jerks. Come on, get on board.
I think the Jews.
You and your smart weather. Oh, no, we go both ways. We're bi-calendar,
ooh,
or bi-cal, for short.
Learn new things
Happy
every day.
Happy Kislev to everyone. I don't know what month it is in Jewish time. Sorry.
Neither do I, so I guess that works out well.
Yeah.
We have two Jewish calendars in our house that say what month it is, one in our bedroom and one in the kitchen, and I don't know either.
Yeah.
How sad is that? Like, we look at them every day.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy.
It's the worst.
Coming up on the show today, we will talk about some new Ben & Jerry's flavors. Decide if you like them or not. We've got some very interesting things in Florida Corner for you, as always.
As always.
As always. And how the free market may not be helping out in terms of one of my favorite things. So we'll talk about all of those things. So how was your week, guys?
Good.
I know, Ted, I haven't seen you in a fortnight.
A fortnight, that's right. Improv duties call, so... Apologies to all the Tedomaniacs who didn't hear me last week. Both of them. Actually, my parents don't listen. So never mind. No one cared. I'm just kidding.
I missed you.
Okay. There we go.
Although we had Kareem. That was fun.
Yay.
Yeah. We got a different perspective. One that you don't normally bring. The perspective of the black man.
I don't think I should try to fake that.
No.
I'd probably not. Very PC.
Christiana away this week. She's got professional duties to deal with.
Duties.
Indeed. Did you guys do anything fun this past week?
We had planned to have house guests, so we cleaned the house, and then we didn't have house guests, so we were like, yay, we have like a clean house and we don't have to do anything. So we actually had like a very like slothy weekend, I feel.
Relaxing.
Like. Relaxing, that's the word. Mm. It was very relaxing. We did make it out to the California Museum.
That was super
cool. To see, they had
an
exhibit on Ray Eames, the mid-century modern designer, and that was fantastic. And there were also some really sad exhibits about how Japanese Americans and Native Americans were cruelly mistreated, and they were inspiring and sobering.
And they also had an exhibit where they showed the drive during which the 49ers defeated the Bengals in the last final minute of Super Bowl. Nate, fill in the number for me if you want to.
Was it 16? Was it
the big jump, Montana, and the catch and the drive and, you know.
Well, was it the first time they beat them or the second time they beat them?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because they beat the Bengals twice.
The big one that they pulled it out at the very end.
Was
all right.
Jerry Rice in the game?
Yes.
I forget the number on that one. It was not 16.
Okay.
But Joe Montana was inducted into the California Hall of Fame this year, so they had a little exhibit for him, which was cool. And we also got to go eat at Mother, which is Sacramento's new vegetarian restaurant that's been open, I think, less than a month. And it's super crowded all the time, but we went really early, right when they opened, and we got in and we got a table, and it was delicious.
Yes, go there. If you don't mind not eating meat.
If you don't want meat, go there without the meat.
Yeah.
I celebrated my birthday week, of course, last week.
Yay!
And right now I'm enjoying the gifts of you guys, one of the beers that you brought me. So on my birthday, I went to see the Kings, and somehow they played really, really badly, yet still were ahead at the end of the third quarter. And still lost, but they've won every game since, so they're on the upswing, I guess.
So they lost for your birthday? Is that
yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and they played badly. They played really badly, but DeMarcus Cousins was out, so.
Hope you didn't take it personally.
I never do. I expect them to lose, and they carried through on that.
All right.
They delivered for your birthday.
They did, and so the following night, last Thursday, my friend Selena brought me to a new Glory Brewing in Sacramento, which is a new place I had not been before. It's over off Power Inn Road, if you're in the Sacramento area. Kind of an interesting place, and they had, as a lot of the little microbreweries have that have popped up, they had a food truck there, and it was Bacon Mania. which is fantastic.
Which you invited me to... Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was about to say the same exact thing. Go ahead.
Oh, that you invited me to like them on Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, me too.
Is there a Tofu Mania truck coming around anytime too? I'll like that.
No.
Mm-hmm. No? Okay.
No, no. It's pretty much... I had the pulled pork sliders with bacon on them.
Okay. Double your pleasure,
your pork. Yeah, it was good stuff. Okay. I mean, you could have their coleslaw.
I couldn't. I'm sure coleslaw is...
They probably put a little bacon in the coleslaw.
Or a little mayonnaise.
Or a little, I don't know, something. Something. Anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed your menu.
So they had that. That was Thursday. And then Friday, went to Santa Rosa because I've been wanting to try the entire sampler that they have at Russian River Brewing, which I'd seen it before, and it's huge, but I've always had to drive back from Santa Rosa, so it wasn't really an option because their sampler is 18 beers.
Okay, so you posted a picture of this on Facebook, and it has two rows.
Yes.
So is that is one person's night of beer, or that is each row is for two people to split, and each row is...
Oh, no. If you're doing it by yourself, that's one person's night of beer. I went with my friend Leslie, and we each sampled. So I wasn't drinking all of each of them. We were each tasting each one of the beers.
Oh, okay. I was looking at it, trying to figure out. I had never seen a sample like that. It is big.
18 beers. That's a high's worth of beer.
And there was actually an extra one, so there were 19 beers.
Oh, a high plus one.
Oh, my goodness.
19 beers.
Even though they're mini beers, that's a lot of beer.
It is, and I had two pints besides that, because when you get to Russian River is very busy, and they had just finished their run of their very limited edition triple IPA, Pliny the Younger, which is available for 2 weeks every year in February. And when that was out, there were people waiting between 3 and 12 hours. Their longest day, you had to wait 12 hours to get in to get
what?
Beer. 12
that must
hours.
That's a mighty good beer.
It's rated as one of the world's best.
So after 2 weeks, does it become Pliny the Elder? Is that how it works?
No. No. It's a Pliny the Elder is a double IPA. Pliny the Younger is just done in a small batch because they put so much hops in it. It's much more expensive to brew. And they make it in a small batch and get it in, get it out, and it's very popular. So did that, got a hotel, and
within walking distance?
We took taps.
Okay.
It was within walking distance, but it was on the other side of the 101. And
wandering the highway,
walking
idea.
Under the 101, which is what you have to do, didn't seem to be anything wanted to do.
No, I understand that.
Nothing good happened under a freeway, I don't think.
Well, the farmer's market here in Sac, but that's about it.
Oh, I stand corrected.
So went back to the hotel and we checked in. They said, oh, there's construction here. We're renovating the hotel and it starts at like 10 a.m.
East Coast time.
It did not start at 10 a.m. At 6:30 in the morning is when I first heard some rustling of like tapping on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Little tapping on the wall.
Like, what day of the week was this?
Saturday.
Oh, come on, guys. Take a day off.
Nope.
It's Shabbos.
Saturday.
I'll be enjoying it up tonight.
By 7 a.m., it had graduated to pounding.
Oh, my goodness.
On the walls. And
are you kind of still tipsy or hungover at this point?
Not hungover. Okay. Not at all. I mean.
But weary.
It was one of those things where you're out having a night. It's 7 a.m. on a Saturday.
Right.
And they told you it wasn't going to be happening until 10.
Right. So here's a good rule for anybody. If you are in a group of any number of people, be it 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever.
Six?
Six works too.
Okay.
The person who is not mad is the one who should be the first one to broach the subject of there's a problem here.
Ah, yes.
I've embraced that. I was mad. I did not do anything.
Oh.
But the call to the front desk was greeted with, well, it's not supposed to start until the manager gets here. The manager's coming in around 10. But unfortunately I can't do anything because we were told not to talk to the workers.
What? That sounds weird.
Yeah, it does, but I kind of understand it because they're trying to get stuff done. But anyway, later on, when the manager came in and the phone call to the manager was like, yeah, that's not the message you should have gotten back. Translation, they're not supposed to tell the guests about that.
They didn't tell them not to tell you about that.
Right.
They follow directions.
And when we checked out, there was a new piece of paper up in the elevator that said the hotel is under construction 7 days a week from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Still not quite true.
No, it was not. It started at 6:30.
Did they give you any sort of compensation for your...
They took care. They took care of everything.
Good enough. I'm glad that they at least took care of you.
They did. Cool. I tweeted something I heard back from the corporate office of the hotel.
Oh, you used Twitter.
I did.
So when you spoke to them directly, they didn't offer or try to give you anything? Or did you even
This was when I was angry. This was before the manager came in.
Tweet mad.
Yeah, you can tweet angry. That's fine. You can figure that out
that's
later.
Expected. That's the American way.
It is. It's become the American way.
Wow, so they got back to you through Twitter before they resolved. Well, they couldn't.
Before the manager came in, yes.
Wow, all right. Technology, y'all.
It did work. They were like, direct message us with your contact information if you want to talk about it further. So they were very good about it. I'm not going to mention the hotel.
Okay.
For a variety of reasons, but...
were there two trees involved?
Nate's Twitter account.
Oh, well played.
You could. and then on the way back, stopped at Lagunitas Brewery in Petaluma.
Wow.
For lunch and beers.
Beer-tastic weekend.
It was. And then when I got back, we had a work outing for karaoke. A karaoke work outing.
Did you bust out the Billy Idol?
No. Well, here's the thing.
Rednecks.
Here's the thing.
Sad to be the forgotten angel.
We went to the karaoke place on K Street, which is like sushi and karaoke, and it's at the giant karaoke sign.
Sushi and karaoke.
I don't even know that place.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have to go up an elevator to get there. And it's a nice concept where every group has their own little karaoke room, but their sound isn't very good. We were fighting with feedback the whole time we were there. And the way their system was set up, it seemed like a pirated Asian version of everything because... Some of the videos were like BMI Taiwan, and they were obviously like YouTube videos of stuff super pixelated. And they did not have Friends in Low Places. They did not have Dancing with Myself. They did not have the Thong Song. They did not have Summer of 69.
Nate's greatest hits, y'all.
It wasn't just the stuff I was looking for. It was the stuff other people in my group were looking
for. Do you yourself sing the Thong Song?
No. That is not mine.
But you looked for
that one
it.
Really surprised me.
I did not look for that. That was someone else in the group that was looking
thong
for it.
Song, man.
So what did you sing? What did you sing? Don't keep us in suspense.
Oh, it was a bunch of stuff. I ended up singing Fox by the guys.
Like, what does the
that's,
fox
yes,
say?
Yes, that's the one.
You sang that?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know you had that down.
Well, you don't need to. It's karaoke. It's right there on
I know,
the
but
screen.
You'd think that, but you really should have a handle of the song, or else sometimes disaster strikes.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I had disaster strike one time.
Me too.
I only started doing karaoke, like, the first time I ever did karaoke, I think I was, like, 38. So I'm really new to this whole thing. I've probably done it less than 5 times.
Yeah.
And one was a disaster.
Oh.
Just one?
Yeah, just one. All the rest I stuck to rap, and I rocked it.
Rapped it.
I have to rap. I can't sing.
Yes, you can.
It's pretty tough to do this song, by the way. So hard.
Yeah, because there's all those sounds.
Yeah, but you can just make them up. It's fine. No one knows.
No one knows what the fox says. If they did, there wouldn't be a song about it.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And here it comes. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say? Yeah, awesome. Imagine that in a small room just bouncing around.
That sounds like it could be fun.
It was one of the more fun songs, so there you go.
My work never did karaoke. No one ever got to see me sing, which is probably for the best.
I know, we had karaoke at my work party this year.
Yeah.
I think you picked a good choice, though, Nate, because I think that it's important in karaoke. The point of karaoke is not to show everyone what a badass singer you are, and it's not to get out your feelings about your most recent breakup. Like,
oh,
the
but
point,
it is.
The point is to entertain the people who are watching you. So you picked a good party song, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I sang a few other things as well.
I think it's rude to torture people with, like, a 7-minute sad ballad when they're trying to have like a fun night.
Stairway to Heaven, y'all.
Well, and you go out to karaoke and there's always at least one person who's there who's like, I'm a professional singer.
Oh yeah.
And they pull out some really weird, sad ass playing with Tortured Puppies song. And
I love that song.
Or they hit every octave.
Much fun. I did a few songs because there were like five or six of us in the group, and we had filled 3 hours at the karaoke.
Oh, wow.
Thing.
Wow. Then, yeah, you'd lose your inhibitions at some point.
I wasn't, and I didn't have anything to drink either at that point. I was stone sober doing the whole thing.
Stoned sober.
Stone sober.
Wow. I know those went together.
Yeah. We lost Harold Ramis this week.
Oh, really? Oh, I haven't heard that.
She was not on Facebook today, apparently.
Yeah.
Which
I wasn't.
Is for the best, yeah.
I was at work.
And it was news.
Wait,
around...
What about Ghostbusters 3?
Yeah, no one's ever said that. So here's...
It wasn't
here's,
a joke, it was a question.
Yeah, no, seriously, like they keep saying that's going to happen.
It's not going to happen. But the news was big all over the world. Don't frown, Ghostbusters 2 sucked.
It did suck.
Here's
Ramis has passed away. Is this sad news?
Yes. Harold Ramis, actor, director, writer, comedy legend, has passed away at the age of 69. Of course, the resume is outstanding when you go down the list. Ghostbusters, Animal House, Caddyshack, Groundhog Day, Knocked Up, Analyze This. He's survived by his wife and three children, and apparently for the last 4 years, he's been suffering with an autoimmune disease called inflammatory vasculitis. So he's certainly well respected, remembered, and loved by the show business community and fans of comedy everywhere.
Yeah, he played that sort of neurotic geek so beautifully, didn't he?
So
beautiful.
69, too young.
Is that where you got it from, Andrew? Is that where you sort of stole it from?
I've modeled myself on Ramis. That's right. Now there's a big Ramis-shaped hole in this world, just looking for someone to fill it. Sad.
So big news in Australia as well. Just wanted to highlight that it was big news not just here but around the world as well. They sort of went through it. I mean, the movies that he was a writer on, the list is amazing. He wrote Animal House. He wrote Meatballs, Caddyshack, Stripes, Ghostbusters, Back to School.
Oh, my God. A lot of those are really stupid but fun comedies, but Ghostbusters is awesome.
Groundhog Day.
I love Groundhog Day. That's one of my favorite movies.
Analyze That. He wrote both of those. So, yeah, huge.
And Rover Dangerfield, according to IMDb.
Yeah. And
a lot of other things.
And to be fair, he also wrote some bad movies. did I mention Stripes? Stripes.
You did mention Stripes, yes.
Stripes, fantastic film that doesn't get shown a lot. He wrote Ghostbusters 2, which wasn't very good. He wrote Caddyshack 2, which was terrible as well. But, I mean, he is a giant in the comedy world, and it's sad when you lose somebody like that. And he's 69 years old. He's the same age as my dad. So there will be lots of tributes by the time anybody hears this, because we record on Monday. He passed away, of course, on Monday. And big loss in the comedy world. So, yeah, wow. Heart goes out to his family, especially, and all the people he's worked with, who obviously he's built up a relationship with.
Honey, do we own Ghostbusters?
We do have Ghostbusters.
Do we own Groundhog
and Stripes
Day?
And Groundhog Day. We can have a whole marathon.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it already.
Yeah, I think at some point this week, if you haven't seen them or you haven't seen them in a while, get a Harold Ramis movie out and take a look at it. If it's Groundhog Day, watch it twice just because.
Right?
That's what you do.
Such a good movie. I love it so much.
So I had in addition to all of my drinking and singing of karaoke this week... I got my first entry on UrbanDictionary.com.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a banner week.
It was funny because it was on the way back from my birthday lunch that we had at work, and I had a couple of my coworkers in the car, and it was something that it was a term I thought I came up with, but I searched Urban Dictionary, and it was in there under a different definition, which I didn't like, so I submitted my own definition, which you can do. And on my birthday, I submitted it. And while doing karaoke, I got the email from Urban Dictionary that it had been approved.
Ooh,
congratulations.
What's the word?
The term is cake sauce.
Ah, what does that mean?
It means awesome or sweet. So good you can almost taste it. A series of awesome events.
Ah, that's a nice positive term. Good job.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be giraffe tits. I'm a little disappointed.
No. Well, that would not even remotely be mine at all. But... But yeah, I was pretty stoked on it to find out I'm on UrbanDictionary.com. That's pretty cake sauce.
That is pretty cake sauce. I used Urban Dictionary just this morning to understand what Alec Baldwin was talking about in his "I'm not giving interviews anymore" farewell interview.
I'm not reading that because I'm going to let his retirement start early.
Oh, it was actually really well written and really, really long. I was surprised how long and thorough it was. But he said that Shia LaBeouf has a jailhouse mentality, and I had to look that up, and I figured out what it is. I figured out what it is now. It's when you've been in prison too long and you feel like every time a new person enters your space, you have to like show them that you're dominant right away so that they don't attack you.
Like the kitten? No way, he doesn't really do that.
Yes, kitten equals prison.
So that's the more you know on the Nate Darling Show. That's everybody's lesson for today.
Thank you.
Excellent.
The more you know.
Did you guys watch the Olympics at all?
I watched probably about 3 hours total with my grandma, and that's it.
I've watched absolutely none of it because I'm never really been that interested in the Olympics.
But I did watch the Swedish chef explain curling. They had that on YouTube.
I didn't watch that.
Oh, and I also watched when they put the cats over like the curling puck, and they did like a video.
Stone. It's a curling stone back.
Sorry.
God, but you weren't paying attention at all to the Swedish chef, were you?
He's hard to understand.
They photoshopped cats on top of the curling stone and then showed people like sliding cats around.
I want to play that game.
I did that.
Purling.
Yeah.
That's purling. Maybe what it's called. I don't know. Oh. Sounds kind of wrong, actually. Never mind.
Nate probably had something to talk about regarding the Olympics other than me and my YouTube.
This wasn't about cats?
No. I was just
Swedish chef.
I was just curious if you guys had watched any of it. I didn't watch that much. I watched a lot of the what is somewhat sometimes referred to as X Game sports, like the half pipe and the snow cross and that
sort
of thing.
Slope style? Is that one of it?
Slope style is another one. I watched some of those. The last thing that I watched was the U.S. women lose the gold medal game.
Was that hockey?
It was. It was hockey. They had a 2-0 lead with like 3 minutes left to go in the game, and they blew the game. They were within 2 inches of having an empty net goal because Canada had pulled their goalie, which would have essentially ended the game and given them the gold medal. Instead, it hit the post. Canada came down and tied the score and ended up winning in overtime.
Wow. Oh,
Canada.
Yeah. So, I didn't watch as much as I normally did, but the band Pussy Riot showed up in Sochi. They got weird. It was the weirdest thing. They got horsewhipped by Cossacks, which sounds like something out of the Middle Ages, but it happened. When you see,
they really got horsewhipped.
I don't understand what you mean.
They got tortured for being.
It wasn't tortured. They had basically. Oh. These Cossacks had essentially whips that you would use to get a horse to go faster. And they were hitting the members of the band Pussy Riot in the public square because the members of the band Pussy Riot were protesting.
They're publicly flogged.
Yeah, it was weird. It was very weird because it wasn't like they were being held there and being flogged. They chose to stand there and be flogged.
I guess I'm confused on
why the Cossacks were there?
No, like two things. One.
Just two?
Yes. One.
To start with.
Why is Russia still fucking with Pussy Riot? Because the whole world is watching and they should just like ignore those girls from here on out just for public relations. And I guess this is a stupider question, but why doesn't Pussy Riot just move to Europe or America and start protesting from there where they will not be tortured and whipped all the time, but probably because they're brave badasses or they're not allowed to leave the country. One of the two.
Well, I think it's probably as much that if you really want to change your country, you don't leave your country. You try and do it from there.
But they almost got disappeared. It's so scary.
They went to prison and they got out, which is progress, I guess, over the old Soviet Union in which you would never hear from them again. The interesting thing, though, is because now Pussy Riot is something you hear about on the news all the time. Not normally a word you'd hear in polite conversation. So this writer for BoingBoing.net asked people on Twitter to come up with some more polite synonyms for news anchors who have to say the P word on air. And here's the list of some of them that they came up with. Of course, the first one would be Vagina Riot, which...
Sounds so clinical.
Mm-hmm. Catastrophe.
I know. If Christiana was here, she'd say no, right?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, there you go. You register it for her. Okay.
Cooter Commotion.
I like it.
Lady Bits Rampage.
Nice.
That sounds like a wrestler. I would watch Lady Bits Rampage. I would totally watch her. The Vajayjay Melee.
Her tag team partner from India. I don't know.
Birth Canal Brouhaha. Mm. Hoo-ha Kerfuffle. The Beef Drape Diatribe.
Beef Drape. I don't think I like that term.
No,
very much.
Me neither.
Front Bottom Fracas.
Front Bottom. These are words for Vajayjay I have not heard of before.
No, it's for Pussy Riot.
I know, but they're all synonyms for vagina, I think. That's what I'm trying to say.
Or vulva.
Oh, excuse me.
Sorry, I have to do the Christiana.
No, you don't. Labial Lawlessness, Rosebud Rumble, Bearded Clam Shenanigans, Muffin Scufflin. That's probably my favorite.
That's pretty good. I feel like that could be like a breakfast dish at a diner.
It sounds like a kid's cereal, the Muffin Scufflin.
Yeah.
Cooch Confrontation. Down There, Donnybrook.
Down there.
Labia Frabia. Front Butt Fiasco.
Front Butt. That's so weird.
Munch Bunch. Uh-huh. I believe front butt. I believe the whole front butt thing is British.
Must be, yeah. Front bottom and front butt.
Apocalypse.
Mm.
Violencia del Vulva. Meat Curtain Mayhem.
Still not a fan of that one.
Nookie Disagreement. Mm. That's really more about sex than that. Honeypot Havoc. Fanny Free For All. Fanny is British. That's the one. And Tumult Near Mons Pubis.
Wow.
I'm surprised that people, like so many people, went for the alliteration or the rhyme, considering that Pussy Riot isn't, you know, it's not a rhyming or alliterative band name.
Right. I think the point is people are idiots.
No, oh, I enjoyed it, though. Everything made me laugh.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
I was just surprised at how many were alliterative.
Muffin Scufflin.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Also from Russia, new trade regulations in Belarus, Russia, and Kazakhstan threaten to subject women there to cruel and dehumanizing indignity of ugly underwear. And no one is taking it lying down. A brief summary of the unmentionable injustice being waged in one large corner of the former Soviet bloc. New trade regulations would bar the sale, import, or manufacture of underwear comprised of less than 6% cotton. I'd imagine that this is benefiting some cotton farming kleptocrats, but it's definitely not benefiting anyone's lingerie drawers. According to the National Post, this isn't going over too well with a vocal contingent of lingerie lovers who complain that all of the prettiest underwear is cotton poor, and the ban will thrust residents of the three affected countries back into saggy Soviet drawers. Then no one will have sex again. Because that's how it works.
Yeah.
Quote, as a rule, lacy underwear is literally snatched off the shelves, said Alyssa Spartayeva, the manager of a lingerie store in Moscow called Double D Shop, as she flicked through her colorful wares. If you take that away, the buyer is going to be the one who suffers the most. So, Becca, would you feel like you'd been persecuted if they took away your sexy underthings?
No, like 6% is not that much. I'm sure they could do some blends that are useful.
You'd
and besides,
so.
Well, I don't know. I don't
know if I can knitwear?
Explain ladies' underwear without too much information. But they usually have like a little cotton panel kind of at the crotch, which I think has to do with like
breathability. Yes.
Yeah. And so like that could be the 6%. And then, I mean, there are underwear that are like all lace and all elasticy and everything that still have that little piece. So maybe that's what they mean.
I don't know. The comments are delightful, though. Lacy underwear make my butt cheeks itch. Something fierce. I'm a cotton microfiber hipster undies girl all the way.
I understand that.
I think it's more that my butt fat works its way through the little holes in lace than it's really just itchy. The chub shall not be contained.
That's used of chub I've not heard before.
Maybe a different size?
It's from the same girl.
Oh.
Two different comments. One woman felt the need to comment on the story twice. So, yeah.
Some people are passionate about issues.
Mm-hmm. Well,
such as underwear.
Look, it's you only get one ass. Two cheeks, but one ass.
It's not fair.
We love the free market, right?
Maybe.
In concept, but morals and ethics make it work. Go ahead.
Well, out of Seattle, Washington, booze prices at bars and restaurants in Washington State may go up this year as multiple interests fight over rules following the voter-approved privatization of the state's liquor system. The possible price hike could be a hangover from battles among two giant national distributors, Costco, and its allies at the State Liquor Control Board. Since the end of Prohibition in the 30s, the state had tightly controlled the distribution and sales of liquor, as happens in most states. But in 2011, Washington voters approved a privatization initiative that was supported by Costco and other retail interests. Costco spent more than $20 million backing the initiative, and distributors also provided millions. Following privatization, there have been multiple lawsuits, and some consumers have complained about sticker shock in grocery aisles. Idaho liquor regulators said this month that Washington residents crossing the border boosted their state's booze sales by $10 million last year.
Wow.
Similar stories came from liquor stores on the Oregon border. While prices have decreased, off-the-shelf liquor prices in 2013 were still significantly higher than pre-privatization prices. For example, the average price per liter of liquor in October of 2011 before the vote was $21.61. 2 years later, the average price, $24.12.
Dear God.
That's an 11% increase. The most recent positive price, possible price hike stems from the Liquor Control Board deciding last November that discounted volume sales of booze from distributors to bars and restaurants wasn't okay under the new law. The issue was brought to the board by former state contract stores, which weren't getting discounted prices restaurants were enjoying. The board, however, left a window for a legislative fix, recognizing that the so-called channel pricing works for distributors and restaurants. So the free market is hitting you right in the booze hole.
Alcoholism, yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's Obama's fault. Was that the gist of that?
No.
Obama. No, just trust me, Nate. It's not a question.
I think it's very, I think it's really interesting that this is a pure example of the free market driving up consumer prices, when everybody that you hear talking about it from a certain side of the aisle will always say, well, the free market will drive down prices because it'll drive up competition. Except it didn't work that way.
It doesn't always work with monopolies.
Sometimes regulation works.
Sometimes regulation works.
It's Obama.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to.
He made CVS stop selling cigarettes. He makes Washington State's liters of liquor cost $3 more. He makes the people in whatever country our last story was in wear
Russia.
Cotton underwear. Was it just Russia? I felt like I was going to get it wrong.
Where was it?
Well, it was former Russian republics, too. Oh. It was like Belarus, which is Belarus. Not Russia, but
that
it is a former Russian.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Russia.
Can you believe, like...
It is Russia as well, Ted.
Okay.
My listening retention is, like, terrible. Like, I'm, like, commenting on stories that I don't even fully comprehend, as is the American way.
Yay.
That's the way to go, I think. Bring back state control if it's going to drive down prices. I mean...
But Washington has that thing where it's like, if you want liquor, you have to go to the liquor store and then...
Apparently not. I mean...
No, but they did. I imagine that's probably what some of this deregulation is about.
Probably. And that was the case in Vermont as well. It wasn't the same as it is in California, where you can go to Target and pick up like a fifth of vodka, which was a very different thing for me. although I know in Maine, when I went to college there, it was very interesting because grocery stores had aisles. The state liquor store was like two aisles of the grocery store. So they had all of the stuff at the grocery store, and that was a big change of pace, because in Vermont, it's also state-run liquor stores. And
can't even fathom that.
Or state-licensed liquor stores. So it could be a privately owned store, but you had to go through the licensing of the state to be a state-approved liquor store, basically. Hmm. So that's kind of how it worked. But anyway, anything that drives up booze prices is that's not really a good thing at all.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa. All right, first up in cooler tool, the Olympics. Ted.
In concept, I think the Olympics are very cool.
Becca?
Cool, yeah. They were in snow.
Sort of in snow. The Olympics, for the most part, are cool. The actual games are cool. This push by NBC to make everything about the backstory, not so much.
Russia sucks, am I right? Okay. That backstory?
Yeah, any one of them.
Yeah.
Up next in Cooler Tool, Lacey Underthings. Lacey Underthings, Becca?
Only, like, their coolness is directly related to how comfortable and flattering they are.
Ted?
I would say I don't want to wear them myself, but I admire them on certain other people, so cool.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate that. They are cool. And finally, in Cooler Tool, the free market. The free market, Ted.
Oh, man. For the most part, I think it's pretty cool.
Becca?
Again, it depends entirely on whether it's comfortable and flattering.
Not restrictive and let you breathe.
Fair point. The free market isn't really free. It's a bullshit name. It's controlled by giant corporate interests.
Well, that's what it's become, right?
And Obama. Yeah,
it's not really free, so it's Tool.
Oh. But would a truly free market be cool?
No, because without regulation...
People suck.
Yeah, without regulation, you will get hoarding, you will get price fixing, you will get gouging.
Which we get now.
Exactly.
But not quite as bad. Yeah.
Because there's a little regulation, but not as much as there should be.
Yeah.
Smart regulation is really the way to go.
Hear. Smart regulation.
Getting in people's way with stuff. So that's Cooler Tool. Hey, some happy news. Ben and Jerry's announced 4 new flavors.
Yay! I think.
Let's see if you like any of these. Now, ignore for a minute that these will include dairy, Becca. Imagine they don't.
Yeah. I can do that.
Okay. The first one, Hazed and Confused, which is chocolate and hazelnut ice creams with fudge chips and hazelnut fudge core. What do you guys think of that one?
It's named after one of my favorite movies, and it sounds delicious.
I like the name, but I'm not a hazelnut fan, so I'm going to have to say no thank you.
You're not a hazelnut fan?
I'm not a hazelnut fan. Can we still go out?
Yeah, I just never knew that about you.
All right. Because we never had
a tub of Nutella together.
Oh,
Or been in a tub of Nutella together.
Moink.
More Nutella for you. I'm not a huge fan of chocolate ice cream.
I love chocolate ice cream.
And to mix it with hazelnut, it seems a little too much for me. Another one, That's My Jam, raspberry and chocolate ice creams with fudge chips and a raspberry core.
I like chocolate. I don't like when fruit gets in the way of my chocolate. So, again, sorry. I'm pretty picky about my flavors.
Apparently.
No, I totally feel that way, too. I'm like, why is there... not just all chocolate in here. Like, what is this fruit?
I think that's been done.
But then again, Ben and Jerry's makes Cherry Garcia, which I think is delicious. So I think I'll trust them on this one.
I would totally try that. I would want to try that in a scoop shop.
I would try it.
As opposed to buying a pint of it. I think that one would be good because I do like the mixture of fruit and chocolate.
Mm.
Another one is peanut butter fudge.
Yes, please. I'll take that.
Which is chocolate and peanut butter ice creams with mini peanut butter cups and a peanut butter fudge core.
Peanut butter and chocolate is my favorite combination of all time. So I'm going to just go live at Ben and Jerry's in that vat.
I think Ted's probably going to stop at Rayleigh's like on the way home or something.
If I could have a peanut butter core of my own, I'd have it inside.
I'm guessing they're not at Rayleigh's quite yet.
Well, I'm going to wait at Rayleigh's is what she's saying, Nate.
I think so. I don't think he'll be home for a while. As soon as you said peanut butter fudge, I started pointing at Ted like wildly because I just knew that would be his like number one thing. And that sounds really good to me, too. That sounds like the best one so far.
And the fourth...
Wait, what about you, Nate? Are you a peanut butter fan?
I do like peanut butter. I'm not a huge fan of peanut butter ice cream. I love peanut butter cups.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Reese's ones, you know, when they have like the holiday ones where it's like the peanut butter chocolate things, those are delightfully decadent. The thing that is a destroyer of my life, and I have to not get them because I will hammer through them way too fast. Trader Joe's makes mini peanut butter cups that are just ridiculously good.
Oh, no. There's a Trader Joe's right near where we do yoga. I'm sure that's a good combination, yoga and then peanut butter cups.
Yeah, you don't want to mix those up because, it'd be bad.
And Valentine's Day, I got Ted the Reese's heart. And it kind of doesn't look like a heart.
No, it looks like a big dangling old man scrotum. But anyway, you have to see it to believe it.
It was romantic.
It's a romantic old scrotum.
Delicious old scrotum.
And we've got a name for the show. Delicious old scrotum.
Finally.
And the last new flavor is salted caramel, which is sweet cream ice cream with blonde brownies and a salty caramel core.
That sounds good. I would take that over the fruit one, but I'm still saying peanut butter fudge for the win.
I'm with you. I take a scoop just to see, but that has a disturbing lack of chocolate in it. So even the brownies. Why do they call them brownies?
It's a blondie, or a whitey or something.
Call it whitey.
Like, who gets a brownie and they're like, you know, this would be good if it wasn't chocolate. Like, what? Why did you even get a brownie? Go get some yellow cake and leave us alone.
According to flavor developer Eric Fredette, we are always looking to make something bigger and better for our fans. We wanted to blow out the concept of fun flavors, chunks and swirls, and take it over the top. Ben and Jerry says the new flavors will be available in pints beginning in February 2014.
It's totally February.
They're there now.
Why are we still sitting and doing a podcast, guys? Seriously, why are we? Okay.
The handmade core sundaes featuring the core of hot fudge or caramel between the two flavors will be available in Ben and Jerry's scoop shops beginning this spring.
I've never even heard of that.
I know, it's crazy, right?
Because I'm a vegan, so I never go to a Ben & Jerry's scoop shop. I just walk by and inhale the scent of waffle cones. Oh.
They almost smell too sweet when you walk by them.
Oh, no, it's amazing. I feel like Bugs Bunny, you know, when he smells delicious food and he like kind of floats by his nose through the air. Yeah, I feel like that. I can't have it, but I can breathe it.
Well, I saw this headline on Jezebel. I you know how I love Jezebel.
You do.
I know you, do.
We've already had a story from Jezebel, at least one today.
Headline, liberals are self-righteous Rihanna-loving cat ladies.
Wait, I'm not a lady. That's the only thing they're wrong about with me, actually. I don't like Rihanna either. I'm indifferent about Rihanna. I don't really know her music that well.
I'm indifferent about Rihanna. I am a lady and I do like
and
cats.
I am self-righteous.
Mm.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, like snowflakes, you're all singular, special individuals, but you collectively fall into some pretty predictable data patterns when it comes to political affiliation. New meta-analysis from the University of Illinois at Chicago has shown that while conservatives are often portrayed by left-leaning media as rigid, righteous ideologues devoted to their beliefs with a borderline scary fervency, no thank you. The reality is that liberals exhibit similar levels of devotion to their moral viewpoints. The difference, explains Mother Jones, is that liberals and conservatives attach that fervency to different beliefs.
We're both people with beliefs?
Mother Jones. Idiots. In total, 21 studies examine the moral commitments of liberals and conservatives on 41 separate political issues, from drug policy to the Israel-Palestine conflict. But the large majority of those issues, 28 of them in all, liberals and conservatives showed about the same level of moral conviction. So we have way more in common than you'd think. Of the remainder, conservatives felt more strongly about seven issues: immigration, abortion, states' rights, gun control, physician-assisted suicide, the deficit, and the federal budget. While liberals felt more strongly about six issues: climate change, the environment, gender equality, income equality, healthcare reform, and education.
I'm surprised that abortion wasn't among the liberal issues, unless they put that under gender equality in some ways. But anyway,
no, I don't think it is. I think the fact of the matter remains that there are probably some people who are very liberal who don't really take a stand on abortion because it's not, to them, it's not a personal issue.
Or it could be dependent on how it was worded, because abortion still is legal in most of the U.S. So if they were like, what do you think we need to change?
Right.
Like,
that's a good point.
You know, people who are against abortion would be like, abortion. And yeah.
So while liberals and conservatives show similar devotion to their selected pet issues, they show different levels of devotion to selected pets. According to Time, left-wingers are more likely to be cat people.
Yeah.
Than their counterparts on the right. But there are other strange, seemingly apolitical traits that people on either side of the aisle tend to share. Liberals would rather go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art than Times Square. Conservatives say they have cleaner desks. And liberals say they don't care if their significant others look at pornography alone.
My dad is a bad conservative because his desk is a mess.
And I'm a good bad liberal because my desk is always neat.
Oh, no.
How do you feel about Ted looking at pornography alone?
Fine.
Okay. You've redeemed your liberal
completely
self.
Fine with that.
I will start maybe doing that because I've never done it before. Does anyone know a website to find this porn?
I think there's a hub of it out there.
Okay.
And
sorry.
Having been to Times Square this year, I think I would rather go to the Metropolitan Museum.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I'd probably rather go to Times Square.
Well, you go there for like a minute and you're like, it's all stores and it's really crowded. And the sad thing about
But they have an M&M store, Becca.
It's not
I know,
that
I went in there. It's not that interesting. And that's the thing is like, you're like, oh, I'm here. Like we were like, let's go to Times Square and get something to eat. Where should we eat? We're in the heart of New York and it's like Applebee's.
It's chain restaurants.
BJ's. Yeah. It's like
Bubba Gump. Yeah.
Everything that's like in Folsom, you know, is there, except it costs like a bazillion times more and you have to stand in line.
That's a tough choice. You know, I like Times Square though. It's like all the lights. It's just really kind of cool to walk around, all the energy. There's certainly a buzz there, but if I had to pick one or the other, I don't know if that'd be that easy a choice. I guess I'd go with MoMA just because, I don't know.
Well, I think it would depend.
Times Square, I don't mean to shit on it. It was cool. It was cool.
I think it would depend on your mood. Because if you just want excitement and electricity, then yeah, you're wanting to go to Times Square because you don't get that really anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I'm in the middle of New York City and everything is going on around me and it's just a lot, then yeah, I would say probably going to MoMA would be a better way to just sort of decompress and appreciate stuff.
Yeah.
Certainly our music tastes aren't similarly divided a lot down political lines, right? Nope. Last week, Pandora announced that it can tell your political affiliation by which music you listen to, and it uses that data to target certain listeners for political ads.
That makes sense.
As one might have predicted, the list of musicians enjoyed by conservatives includes a whole mess of cowboy hat wearing white people. Mm-hmm. Kenny Chesney, Tim McGraw, George Strait, Blake Shelton, and Shania Twain, who does not wear a hat. To name a few, liberals, on the other hand, tend to gravitate toward non-country offerings like Rihanna, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Jay-Z, Snoop Dogg, and Bob Marley. See, here's the thing. I don't listen to any of them, so I'm right in the middle.
You're a libertarian, that's why.
That's right. Down with all of you.
Down with all of you.
So while it's fun to believe we're all different, the reality is that apart from some minor style choices and some hunks of data, we're actually pretty close.
Well, we're all predictable human beings, but we have very different values and views. I'm not sure what the point of that is, really, that we all stick to our guns on things.
Well, I think the point is when you take out the data and you break it down, that we have a lot more in common than people like to think we do. Because everybody's like, no, I'm this way and you're that way. And it's this whole thing of polarizing everybody so that you're this way and I'm that way. And we can't ever, when in reality, more than half of this stuff, we all intersect.
Oh, the issues we don't care that much. Or we're all, okay, I'd like to see the issues that we all are on the same page on. That would be interesting to see.
Yeah, not necessarily on the same page, but I mean
similar pages.
The idea that conservatives care more about their families than liberal people do is kind of ridiculous. It's not at all true. You know, I mean, and there's been this division in this country where you're in one camp or the other. And I've said it before; I will say it again. I hate extremists on every level.
Kill them all.
Yeah,
light them on fire.
Kill all the extremists.
Yeah, wait,
because nothing good comes from that extremism.
You can sell a lot more guns that way.
You can, and you know who I blame for extremism?
Obama.
Jesus.
Oh,
because let me go back to the Bible for you. Becca just rolled her head so hard I think it almost fell out. Do you have a neck injury, Becca, from that?
Oh.
Because Jesus said, I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't remember the exact quote, had to do with, be either hot or cold, but the lukewarm I shall spit from my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't study that because I didn't go to Christian day school. Is that true, sweetheart, from your studies?
It was New Testament.
Is that what he said?
I don't know.
I'm paraphrasing. But let's, before we go invoking Jesus about everything, let's just try not to treat each other like shit.
Yeah.
How about that?
Hear, hear.
That's where I'm going with it.
Oh, Jesus would approve of that.
Yeah.
Do not treat people like shit, he said. I think also New Testament, if I recall. Was that? No?
Okay. Everything Jesus is New Testament.
Well, I'm just referencing my source material.
There you go.
Not everything. Some of it is in Book of Mormon.
Ah, there we go.
Oh, well, fair. Fair. I don't consider that the Bible.
Oh, no, it's not the Bible, but yeah, there's more stories than Jesus, I guess.
Yeah.
So, buttons.
Yeah. Came after.
Now, who's a better Christian?
So, we talked about...
Sorry about...
I meant me,
losing,
not you.
Sorry about, like, slumping with Jesus. I've just had a super religion-heavy month, and it was funny. Last night, because I checked out some books. Like, I have all these textbooks I've been reading all month, and then I have some books that I've been ignoring that are for fun that were on the recommendation of friends. And last night I was like, oh, yeah, Ted, I'm going to start reading a book now. And I was like, guess what book it's going to be? And he was like, one that's not about Mormonism. And I was like, yeah, here I go. And I, like, sit down and I pick up the two books that I have to choose from. And I don't even know what they are. They were both just recommended to me by friends. And I pick them up. And I open them up, and both of them are spiritual memoirs by Christians. Like, you know,
oh,
and I look
no.
up, and I'm just like, oh, this is my fun material. And like, not that I'm like anti-Christian or anything, but I just need a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
From it. So I don't know. I need to I decided to watch Nashville on Hulu instead, which was perfect.
Don't they talk about Jesus in Nashville?
Very rarely. Oh, even though it's about country music, it doesn't come up much. Although one of the main characters, her career has tanked because someone maliciously edited a video of her so that it looks like she's saying there's no God. And she lost all her fans.
Ooh, scandalous.
And her record contract.
What? I'm actually reading as well. I'm reading a book called Winning in Mind is what it's called, by Lanny Basham, who is an Olympic shooter.
Ah.
From the 70s, and I heard about him from my chiropractor, who hosts a podcast called Trail Runner Nation, which is, if you're into running at all, you should check that out, because they do talk about other things besides running, things that play into it, like the mental games behind it, and, you know, how, because a lot of running is mental. There's a physical aspect to it, but there's also the getting over that first few blocks where you're like, I really just want to turn around and go back home.
Oh, yeah.
I know that feeling well.
Yeah. So that's what I'm reading, and I wanted to get a plug in for my...
Oh, can I see what I'm reading? I'm reading Salt, Sugar, Fat, How the Food Giants Hooked Us. And it's a pretty fascinating and scary book about how the food companies, you know, get together. And, you know, I think we all know these things. They sit in their laboratories and just find the perfect amount of sugar that will just get kids so hooked that they'll only want to eat sugar from then on, and how it really shapes kids' palates from a very early age and starts us down a path of bad eating. So it's kind of disturbing.
Sounds like propaganda to me, Ted.
It's a Pulitzer Prize winning piece of propaganda.
There you go. So we talked about Michael Sam, the guy who came out. Yeah, he came out. The NFL Combine is wrapping up as we're speaking.
Combine?
The NFL Combine. That's where
is
all
the draft?
No.
Oh, sorry.
That's where all the college players come together to show how fast they are, how high they can jump, how much they can lift.
It's like the Hunger Games.
Yes, it is. They put actual calculations on people. So like one of the big things was measuring the quarterbacks, like how tall they are and how big their hands are and how fast they run the 40-yard dash, that sort of thing.
It's like the state
fair.
It's
like a 4-H show.
Oh, yeah, 4-H, yeah, exactly.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay.
Basically. Now, when Michael Sam came out, we were all expecting and waiting for this, but Rush Limbaugh had something to say about
it. He always does.
Heterosexuality has no political agenda, and there is no agenda attached to it. Heterosexuality does not have activists.
I'm pretty active. I try to be. It's a long pause.
Don't. You're wrong. He's
talking,
but they're under assault.
Guy in the other room.
You say heterosexuality may be 95-98% of population. They're under assault by the 2-5% that are homosexual. So why?
All
I'm just asking.
Them.
I'm just throwing it out there. Why is there a political agenda?
Why?
Attached to and driven by homosexuality.
There's legislation against them?
Correspondent.
Do not see the oppression.
Heterosexual agenda.
It's Fox News writes about
Forget
it all the time.
Forget minority versus majority. That's not what I have in mind here. And it's not because a minority must do what it has to do to overcome a majority, because that's not the answer.
What is the answer?
OxyContin?
Come on.
Okay, cool. Good. That's wrong, too.
You can do it. Get to it.
I people got people shouting what shit? They think in my
3 hours
my
a day.
Ear. They're all going to be wrong.
How do people listen to it?
Heterosexuality definitely has an agenda.
Okay, let me keep going.
Procreation.
Why is it
orgasm?
Okay now for a gay man to play football?
Outlawing gay marriage.
It was dangerous.
That's not all heterosexuals.
And leads to concussions.
No, not all of them.
That was barbaric. I thought that it too dangerous and leads to Alzheimer's and
millions of people listen to this guy every day too.
Then
millions
we don't need to join
idiots.
The join the.
Oh no, I'm
or masochist.
I think occasionally you have to listen to the people you disagree with just to see
can
what they're saying.
I know
is
you
there someone
believe
who can,
that.
Is there someone who can say it in a more succinct and non aggravating manner?
Paper wrestling way
to play football.
Is he the most eloquent of the lot?
So I'm just positing these questions because there is an answer to all of these questions. And
he's getting to his point.
The answer is key and fundamental to understanding.
He's weaving a tale, don't you know?
You folks, you would not believe this is why. You know, you ask me all the time, how come we can't hear these people talking to you? Because of what's happening right now.
Because they're wrong.
I got more people shouting because the media wants a gay football player to succeed.
Yes, Becca.
I'm confused. Wait, is he actually talking to someone that we can't hear?
Yes. Yes,
the voice
sort
is in
of.
His head.
It's weird the way his show is structured. He has a producer who never speaks on microphone, and he will talk to him. He'll mention Mr. Snerdly by name, and that actually is a person who exists there, and he will talk to him, but he transitions to talking directly to the audience without really letting you know.
He doesn't want to give the talking points to the other side? Is that his strategy?
He's not really a great broadcaster.
He used to be on TV, for God's sake. How?
Because he had a very popular radio show. Because of the very popular radio show. But he is in fact a failed music DJ.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Yeah, his name was Jeff Christie.
Wasn't Glenn Beck also a failed music DJ?
Yes, Glenn Beck also a failed music DJ. It's an act. They're doing an act. They're doing a ridiculous act. So I don't know how this all came to, because the media wants a gay football player to succeed.
So much. I don't know.
I want it to not matter.
Yeah,
that's all I fucking want. I want it to not matter whether you're gay or straight or black or white or Hispanic or
Jewish,
whatever. I don't give a shit.
Here, here.
I really don't. Are you capable of doing the job or are you not? That's all I care about. Are you a decent person or are you a horrible, horrible piece of crap? That's all that should matter.
Agreed.
And we had the discussion last week and Kareem was here and he said, well, Kanye West makes some good points in there. Do we have to throw them all out? Yeah, because he goes on these ridiculous diatribes that make no fucking sense at all. So, no, I don't have to take out what he says and sift through it and go, ooh, there's a little gold Kanye nugget in there that makes sense.
Oh.
And that's the whole thing. You don't have to do that. I mean, there may be something that Rush Limbaugh says that makes perfect sense, too. But you shouldn't have to sift through all of this horse shit to get to it.
My point exactly. Let's not listen to him anymore.
Oh, we're done. We're moving on.
Also, how did Michael Sam do in the combine?
He ran and he lifted and he did fine.
He proved himself on the
draft,
college.
The draft really isn't until May.
Yeah.
I want him to do well, because I don't want him to be like on the border so that if he doesn't get picked, people will say it's this or that. Like, I want it to just be clear that he should be drafted and he will be drafted.
Meantime, Sunday in the NBA, Jason Collins, who came out as openly gay, played for the New Jersey Nets against the Lakers, becoming the first openly gay man to play in one of the four major professional sports in North America.
Yay. Is he subbing or is he on the team now?
He signed a 10-day contract with the Nets. The difference, I mean, he's played in the NBA for 13 years.
Yeah,
he's
played
with half the guys in the league. So they know him personally. And you know the difference between you know him personally and he's one of them?
Right.
It's where the term one of the good ones comes from.
Right.
So it's not as big a deal because he has a reputation, a personal reputation with these people. Michael Sam is going to be kind of a bigger thing when he hits the NFL. I was watching PTI on Monday and they made the point that it was like Michael Sam at Missouri when he came out to his teammates and they already knew him. So it wasn't that big a deal for them. So anyway, let's skip ahead to Florida Corner. Sometimes it's not just people in Florida. Sometimes it's whole cities.
I just say I've never been more relieved to get to Florida Corner than now because we got to stop talking about Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank God he doesn't live in Florida.
Well, he does, actually.
Does he seriously?
He does. I don't know. It makes sense.
He moved there because they don't have state taxes. A Cape Coral woman refuses to use city power and water, but now she has a month to plug in or face the consequences. That's right. They met with the woman in a legal battle with the city to protect her way of life. It's a lifestyle some can only afford to dream of living. If I could figure out how to do it, I would probably do it, said Cape Coral resident Sylvia Lavendlier.
Slivia.
Whatever.
No, I'm kidding. They spelled it on the paper.
Well, Robin Spurgeonius figured out how to do it more than a year and a half ago. She said, I'm choosing to live without being dependent on the system. She's living off the grid, as she describes it. I never have to worry about that bill coming in. No city power or water running through her house walls. Instead, she uses solar panels and treated rainwater for survival. It's a way of life that she says is being challenged by city code enforcement. When this was brought to my attention, I felt like I had to act. I felt like Cape Coral was intruding into the woman's lifestyle, said attorney Todd Allen. Allen took her case for free. Last week, during a special hearing, the two sides met to discuss the legality of her living arrangements. There's a special magistrate ruled that she was not guilty of not having proper sewer or electrical system, but was guilty of not being hooked up to an approved water supply. What happens here is people don't talk to us or cooperate. We don't communicate. Then we're forced to use the legal tools at our disposal. That's according to Frank Cassidy of Code Compliance. City code officials said it isn't a case of singling out an individual, but making sure everyone follows the rules. Get in line, people. In the whole scheme of things, it's no different than hundreds of cases they deal with all the time. She has a month to comply, though she has no intention of giving in. I don't have to justify my life. They have to. It's the way the system of justice works. They have to justify it. I don't! So, we'll see.
I like that reading.
She's not complying. Down with you, healthy water.
Not being hooked up to an approved water supply. That's really kind of scary to me. Like, I'm living off the water that nature gives me. No, that's not approved.
Well, probably full of acid rain and stuff.
Oh, it is Florida.
But it says that she's treating it, so she must have some...
Well, treating it with what?
I don't know.
No. In other places in Florida, sometimes it's the restaurant. If you dine out at any of Gator's Dockside restaurants in Jacksonville, you may notice a little extra added to your bill. The chain is adding a 1% surcharge to all of their checks, asking customers to help pay for health insurance it will be required to provide for employees under the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Obama. The owners say the alternative would be cutting employee hours. Glenda Thomas, who visits Gator's Dockside, for the oysters, good service, and nice people, says it's a small price to pay. We've always felt very welcome here, she said. We've been coming here for, gosh, probably a decade, if not longer. The restaurant says the Affordable Care Act surcharge will help the company offset the cost of health care, which it will be required to give to employees by next year. The owners of Gator's Dockside say it isn't political. They aren't for or against the new federal health care changes. They just want to follow the law and take care of their employees. The average meal here is $15, so that means most customers would pay about 15 cents more. Signs are posted around the restaurant making sure customers know about the new charge. Do you know how hard their people work? 15 cents, and you sit there enjoying yourself. Thomas says, I don't have a problem with that.
You sit there and you're enjoying yourself. Okay.
I don't either. Gator's Dockside rolled out the new surcharge in some of its Central Florida restaurants last week and across northeastern Florida just a couple days ago. Managers said the surcharge won't cover the entire cost for 500 employees, but it is a start. Said, we're trying to be transparent about what our costs are by not raising their costs. We're asking for a penny per dollar to keep our full-time employees going. So what do you guys think of that? Do you think it's a good solution to the whole thing of this is going to be bad for employers to have to cover this cost versus, you know, laying people off?
Well, they're already doing that in San Francisco, right? Like before the Affordable Care Act, and it's more than far more. Well, 1%. And I don't know, like Ted and I had a discussion about it when we were eating in San Francisco like a year ago, and we both agreed that we want people to have health care, and it's a negligible amount of money for having healthy people in our country.
I kind of wish that they would just bump prices up across the board, like on the menu, and not put a little political little thing making it. It feels like it's making it more divisive than it needs to be. And they can explain early on, we've raised our prices because of this, and then just not even talk about it because I don't know. It seems a little unnecessary.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is go, we didn't raise our prices. We're just doing this to help offset the cost of this. Now, ultimately, if you're somebody who's like really like, I don't want to have to pay the cost of that, take 1% off your tip.
Well, yeah. But look, I mean, suppose the government says, okay, we're raising business taxes this year by 2%. Do you see restaurants say, okay, we're going to put a 2% charge on our bill to let you know why we're doing it because we have to pay more taxes? Or you just kind of fold it into your costs and just adjust and not even bother being that transparent?
I have seen that before.
Have you?
Okay. I've seen it at gas stations, as a matter of fact, where they put the reason our gas is this expensive is because we pay this much in state taxes, this much in federal taxes, this much in this.
I've seen at gas stations too.
So I have seen it done before. I don't know. I think it's fine. I think it's kind of a good way to go. You know what? We need to get more money coming in the front door, and here's why your bill is a little bit more. Here's why this charge is on here. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, and again, you can take, if you want to be a dick about it, then instead of giving your, say, 15% tip, figure it to 14. Or instead of your 20% tip, figure it to 19. If you want to do it that way, go ahead and do it. And then it's a zero-sum gain for you. It's the same price.
Okay.
If you want to be militant about it.
Okay.
Do you want to be militant about it, Ted? I think you do.
No, I don't want to be militant about it.
I'm not militant about it.
Just fold all your costs together. It's like, we're going to charge an extra 1% because people use credit cards, and that makes us pay a little more. There's so many different things that can affect how much more you have to run your business. So just to pull out one line item for one specific thing seems unnecessary. Okay.
But in a way,
Yes?
I like the transparency because it reminds us that we're all pitching in and taking care of each other.
Right. I think there's other ways. All right. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So, Ted, you're outvoted.
Oh, where's Christiana? Maybe she'd be on my side. No, she probably wouldn't.
No, she might.
I don't know.
It's hard to say.
This doesn't sound like small town news.
It's not. We're not quite there yet. But Kiss will not rock and roll all night or at any point during the day either when they're inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in April.
They're not getting paid enough?
Nope. The 40-year-old band is unable to agree on which lineup should perform during the April 10th ceremony in New York.
The original OBS.
Nope. The dispute concerns whether the original members, Ace Frehley and Peter Criss, would join Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley in a live performance, or whether the current lineup of Stanley, Simmons, Eric Singer, and Tommy Thayer would play. In a message on its website on Sunday, Kiss says it won't perform with any lineup, calling it, quote, an emotional situation where there is no way to please everyone.
So the fans will lose.
Basically, Gene Simmons has come out and said that he will not play with Ace Frehley and Peter Criss.
All right.
So that's what it comes from. Peter Criss, who lives in New Jersey, calls the decision, quote, disgraceful.
Yeah.
I agree with Peter Criss.
I mean, come on, guys. You're getting to the Hall of Fame. Just pull your shit together for one night. Pretend you could be friends and do a fucking concert.
Plus, I had a crush on Peter Criss when I was like 5 years old. So I'm on his side.
So Ted going against the Jewish members of Kiss.
Oh.
Little Jew on Jew crime. It's true.
I guess so.
But that's the nature of Judaism is to debate.
You know what makes
things.
That fight? It makes that fight
fully Jewish.
Oh yeah. The first rule of Jewish Fight Club.
Yeah,
I don't know if we have that anymore, but
I do, but I'm not.
We
don't have enough time in the show for that.
It's
one.
It's okay, we don't need it. We are
fully Jewish.
There we go. But yeah, that's right. Jews are supposed to disagree on everything.
Yeah, there's that.
The
thing.
Nate Darling Show.
Jews.
Never mind.
Keeping the Jews
small
down.
Small town news.
All right, we're gonna move off of Kiss and move on to small town news because that's what we do. And I don't want to play rock and roll all night at the same time as I'm playing, you know, the John Mellencamp stuff. So we'll do that.
We can't rock and roll our way through small town news.
Well, they don't mash up well together. Is what I'm saying. So, small town news. Yeah, we're going to get out of the way there. Go to the town of Malone, New York. Actually, Canton, New York. Headline, 4-H kids capture wildlife tracking tips.
No, is this a part of New York that you have an association with?
It's not particularly, but it's a place I've been to.
And were you a 4-H kid?
I was a 4-H kid.
Do you have a prize heifer?
I had multiple ones, actually.
Aw. Okay.
It's not going to let me read the whole thing because, damn you.
You're not a subscriber, are you?
Well, you have to log in, and I've logged in before. But I don't remember what my login name is.
Gah.
But anyway, a long line of children wearing brightly colored jackets, hats, and gloves trudged through the snow behind the Cornell Cooperative Extension of St. Lawrence County Learning Farm on Wednesday afternoon last week. Led by Nikki Hamilton Honey, that's right, Nikki Hamilton Honey, a 4-H extended school day educator, the group of about 15 children was on an adventure tracking animals in the snow.
We never tracked anything in my school days, I don't think.
I know, I feel like if it even snowed in the school district anywhere, like, we didn't even have to go to school. I'm not finding it so hard to imagine, like, being like, let's go out in the snow for school. Like, no, yeah. It would never happen in California.
What did they track? Possum?
I don't know.
Gophers?
Let me read the whole thing. I know I've already signed up for the thing.
Griffins?
Lemurs? Peter Griffin.
Is this Hogwarts?
I don't know. I don't know. Is Canton near Hogwarts? It could be.
Maybe.
They were tracking... They were
Sphinxes?
Damn it, they were tracking Peter Griffin.
Oh my god, who the hell cares?
Oh, that's the question of the day.
So, that's all you need for small town news. They were tracking animals in the snow. Is there really anything more
Bears?
To say than that?
Cheetahs?
There are no cheetahs in New York.
Emus? Well, not that we know of.
That's true.
Dodo bird?
Fair point. You know, we haven't mentioned it yet, so I'm going to mention it right here because we have more time left in this song. If you're going to shop Amazon anyway, we would love for you to shop it through NateDarlingShow.com. It's simple. It's easy. And even a child could do it if they have a credit card.
All don't let a child have your credit card.
Right. All you got to do is go to NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab. That's it. It does not cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show. And we do appreciate that a great deal.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. I just had to renew our website
for
the year.
The man.
That was not free. I had to give them money for that.
Bastards.
They demand money every year to keep a website up to host all of our... By the way, every single podcast that we've done is on NateDarlingShow.com.
We should listen to them all.
Everyone, this is 180 shows right here.
This is 180?
This is number 180.
200's coming up so soon.
I remember when we did 100 and then we had champagne.
Oh, for 200 we're going to have bourbon. That's the upgrade from champagne, right?
Maybe.
I don't know.
It could be.
I don't know what it is.
Could be anything we want it to be.
200.
It could be Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey Whiskey.
There you go.
Right? No?
Absolutely.
Can you buy it on Amazon? Probably not.
Maybe.
Can you still buy booze on Amazon? Doesn't sound like you could. Anyway.
Don't know. But that's the thing. All 180 episodes of the show so far, plus every episode of the Well Hung podcast is there. They come out every Monday. So give them a listen. Enjoy. They're all free for you. So when you're going to shop Amazon, please do it through us because it helps us give to you for free.
Hey, free everybody. Market, baby.
Yeah, free market.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for the Hump Day edition of the Nate Darling Show. We bid you a fond farewell, and we'll see you again on Friday with a new show. It's the neighbors. Quit cut blocking. We're having a hoedown. You hose down. Don't let me pull my hose out. Cause it's big, long, pink, strong. I've been known the time slack all night long. Grab my hand, play this song. DJ, save my life. Come on. Leave your fear back off the wall. Free your beats and pussy pop. If you don't have a pussy, pop a cock into a boot tie. To a boot tie. Yeah, yeah. And we danced. Oh, and we cried. Oh, I am not going to stand on the wall. I will dance, I will dance, I will break that ass off. And I see you in the corner, corner looking so small. Doing the robot like if I died tonight, at least I went hard. I will not give a damn who watches me. I will live, liberate the thoughts in me. I will be the disco ball freaking, give my all to whatever girl's booty. I'm freaking on, I'm not skeeting, nah, it's just freaking hot. Alright, I skeeted. I will not be a mannequin. No, the ego banish it. The roof's on fire. Let's burn down the Vatican. I will moonwalk to Pluto in honor of Michael Jackson. In heaven he'll be saying that man is tired of dancing. Rip to the king, Michael Jackson. We learned it all from you. Dedicate this to the dance floor. Party out the sorrow till tomorrow morning happens. We pledge allegiance to the DJ. Put your hands up. And we danced. And we cried. And we laughed. And had a really, really, really good time. Take my hand. Let's have a blast. And remember this moment for the rest of our. You see me looking at you from that bar right over there. But your friends are huddled up and they are hating on a player. I just wanna dance with you. Get on the back of you. Tip tap the boots. Extract the truth. Dance with you. Get on the back of you. And we danced, and we cried, and we laughed, and had a really, really, really good time. Take my hand, let's have a blast, and remember this moment for the rest of our lives.